Sports. The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Mario Lopez is under fire. He claims that parents who allow their children to live according to their self-identified gender are setting a dangerous example. Lopez himself, father of three, shared his opinions during an interview on the Candace Owens show. This is Mario Lopez, the guy from like Access Hollywood,
yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, right.
Or whatever.
He's back on that now.
Bell.
Yeah, right.
Right, he was on that too.
Yeah.
But now he's back on Access Hollywood, I think, right?
Or whatever that is.
One of those shows.
One of those.
Is it
Extra.
Extra. Extra.
Extra. Yeah.
He's that's
on
it.
That. Yeah.
That's it.
So, I mean, who knew? Who knew that Mario Lopez had thoughts?
Wait, he's now on Access Hollywood again.
All right, whatever.
All right,
we know who the guy is.
All right,
he wears really tight shirts,
mm-hmm,
and he's got great hair. And yes, I'm jealous. Okay, yes, I am. All right, so he's raised the ire of a lot of organizations, including GLAAD, countering that experts in the field have discredited Lopez's notions. And here's what he said.
Look, I'm never one to tell anyone how to parent their kids, obviously. And I think if you come from
maybe
a place...
Maybe you should, though, because you seem to be doing something right.
Well, thanks. You know, and I always say, if you come from a place of love, you really can't go wrong. But at the same time, my God, if you're 3 years old and you're saying you're feeling a certain way, or you think you're a boy or a girl, whatever the case may be, I just think it's dangerous as a parent to make that determination then, okay, well, then you're going to be a boy or a girl, whatever the case may be. And it's sort of alarming and... My gosh, I just think about the repercussions later on.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're 3 year old and he's blaming the parents for making that decision for the child. If you're three and you decide to transition.
Right. Because when I was three, I was wearing my mother's shoes. I mean, that I was walking around the house in my mother's high heels. Yeah. So I would have, it would have been, this would have been, it would be a very different life for me.
So he's saying, like, if a three-year-old says something like that, you don't just automatically run with it and start dressing them like a boy.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
girl.
I think that's probably.
That's common sense.
True,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think you're going to have to rethink it. And let's wait till they're four.
Right.
Right?
Maybe wait a little bit.
And then maybe we push it to five. And then maybe we push it to their 50. I don't know, whatever. There, but maybe three, that makes sense. But I think the problem there is that it's a trope. You know, it's sort of like this idea that, mm-hmm, that's happening. And I'm going to guess that doesn't happen except in, very limited whack job circumstances. Right? And so if that's already happening, if your parents have already decided to let you choose your own gender identity at three, there might be other issues in the house too. Again, four makes more sense. You got to be able. I think you have to do a full year of going to the bathroom by yourself before you can decide.
Able to write your name.
It's a good rule.
Now I got to tell you, I'm much more. I'm back then, and even still, I'm a bit of a sitter. In all honesty, going to the bathroom. Sometimes you get tired when you get there.
They said before this.
You get comfortable,
right?
Sitting.
I know. I just got to go this way, but
God.
I got to go. I'm going to sit down for a second because I got like a long day, it's too much information. But it can happen.
It happens.
Yeah. So you sit down and maybe you want to check your phone and stuff like that. You get get a little time.
It's all your fancy toilet. We know.
Yeah.
Right. I got a heated seat. All of that. I mean,
your smart toilet.
Right.
Dads do that a lot. Watch the kids for a minute. Uncle Kevin, I'll be back. I just got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
45 minutes later,
what
were you doing
in
there?
What is it with guys going to the bathroom for 45 minutes?
He just wants
minutes.
A breather
so
from the
true.
Kids.
Yeah, that's really true. And that, it's not that you're doing the big business. You're just doing, you're doing the minor kind of stuff.
Sending some emails.
Right? You're sitting down for it. Now, if that's the case, like when I'm three, if I decided, and I did that a lot when I was three, then, I'd be wearing a dress. I'm with Mario Lopez.
It started out because they talked about Charlize Theron's 7-year-old identifies as a girl. And that Candace Owens was talking about how seems to be a, quote, weird trend in Hollywood. So he was responding to that.
Okay, so maybe by seven, that might be a little different. Because at seven, I mean, you've just gone through this. When you 7-year-olds are very different than 3-year-olds.
Oh, for sure.
Right? I mean, a 7-year-old is like a little adult in a lot of ways. Actually, 7-year-olds, I think, are smarter than 13-year-olds in a lot of ways.
They're very observant about the world. 13-year-olds, yeah. You start to get the hormones going and the whole teenager thing going.
Right. And then, right, and then the next thing you know, it's good. The aggression builds in, and all kinds of things happen. But 7 is a perfect age, and if it's 7, if the 7-year-old decides, hey, listen, I got to put on a dress, okay, the 3-year-old cannot decide that. If I were 7 and still walking around in my mother's shoes, that probably would have told me something.
So you're with Mario Lopez.
I'm with Mario Lopez. Mm-hmm. I stand with Mario Lopez.
Hashtag.
We stand with Mario.
Well, actually, I sit with Mario. I think is the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Does it make me a girl? Does it make me? I don't think so.
No, I think no.
You need a robot toilet.
You've got a great toilet. Sounds like.
Oh God! All right, now I might be with Mario Lopez on this. This next one is incredibly disturbing.
It is.
Whoa, Nelly!
I'm going to warn you.
Wow.
That this might change your view of things. In history.
Number 4.
There was a phone call that has just been released between Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. It took place on October 26, 1971. So this would have been a couple years into the Nixon administration. 2.5 years in. And the conversation took place after the United Nations voted to recognize the People's Republic of China. About 6.5 minutes into the phone call, Reagan, a strong defender of Taiwan, seemingly referencing the way members of the Tanzanian delegation danced after the UN vote.
Last night, I tell you, to watch that thing on television as I did, to see those monkeys from those African countries. They're still uncomfortable wearing shoes.
Well, and then the tail wags the dog there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The tail wags the dog.
Wow.
Gee.
Referring
so
to
disturbing.
Them as monkeys.
And how it came out just now was to protect Reagan, I presume?
No. It came out because this... I forget his first name. Naftali is his last name. He's a historian. He was the head of the Nixon Library. Nixon taped everything, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. Which turned out to be a bad idea at the very end. But these tapes, you know, existed, and there are tens of thousands of hours of them. And so they eventually started to get categorized, cataloged, and transcribed. And it took years and years and years and years and years to do this. Yeah, Johnson did the same thing. Remember the Johnson, you know, mm-hmm. zipping up his pants and all that. Yeah. So this is now the Nixon project is, you know, pretty much done. And Naftali knew that there had been this conversation. He'd heard about this when they were doing the research, when they were doing the people were doing this, that they were like, oh, wow, look at this one. So it had kind of gotten around. But no one specifically had pointed to the date. So what he did is he went back and he requested from the all of these are in the public records. You know, they're in the National Archives.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he petitioned the National Archives to get that conversation from. They narrowed it down to get a series of conversations between Reagan and Nixon. And he found this.
Oh, geez.
And he thought it was important to have this conversation, you know, in a moment in which racism seems to be, you know, back in centered around what's going on in Washington. This would be a moment to bring this out. That's at least his explanation for it. It is disturbing because I think a lot of people look at Ronald Reagan as above that fray.
Yes.
And Nixon.
Very much so.
You know, who knows what Nixon would say? Nixon was a nut. But Reagan was a guy that people thought was, you know, very genial and not, he wasn't like, you know, super staunch conservative politically, but that he wasn't mean about it.
No, he didn't seem to be mean-spirited in that way. And that's the first evidence of that kind of feeling that I would have gotten from him. And that's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So, and now the Reagan Foundation, the, you know, the Reagan Library, Reagan Foundation, all these organizations are coming out and they're trying to, you know, sort of call for, you know, the notion of looking at what the man did, you know, in terms of the, you know, bringing down the wall and the end of communism, right. And, you know, all those kinds of things. And you know, let's look at what he did in total, and that's not that this doesn't define him. And I really hope it doesn't.
I hope it doesn't too. But gee,
all right,
what a horrible thing to unearth.
Getting to your three, your two, and your one, but first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news?
Even though the Federal Reserve cut interest rates today, that's not enough for President Trump.
May Sunday's your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number three.
Khalil Mack spoke to reporters. He says training camp is never boring and that this team is filled with characters.
Training camp is never boring, man. You got too many different characters, man. There's always something going on. There's always somebody being joked on and different things going on around the building. So it's always exciting, man. But it is refreshing to get a breather here and there from these dudes' characters, man.
You know, we could play that game or if we just transcribed it and ask, did Khalil Mack say this or Joe Biden? It would be very confusing.
Why do you say that?
Because he's like,
what do you mean?
Because Joe Biden's always, hey man, let me, man, I'm telling you, hey man,
the man.
Yeah, but Khalil Mack's cool.
There's a lot of here at these debates. I mean, it's never boring. There's a lot of characters here at these debates.
Never
people are always yelling at each other, man. I'll tell you that
he's a pro. He's not going
to
mess
we
up.
You can't compare Joe Biden to Khalil Mack.
It's just a nice totally to get. Different. It's nice to get over to the side here totally and not, you know, to think about anything, man.
Also, Joe Biden is not laying out guys holding pads for him at practice. I love that video you shared, by the
way,
Kevin.
I do too, Kevin. The one you're like, think your job is hard? Try being the guy who holds pads for Khalil Mack. Yeah, and this poor guy is just mowed down. Like, and he looks like he has to go to the hospital.
Well, they're doing defensive lineman drills where you just hit the handbag and some assistant coach is holding it and he completely blew him over. Khalil Mack, like, rolled on top of him. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. Khalil Mack is like, you know, They do that superhero thing. You know, the NFL's doing it now, but the Bears started that, and that's Izzy Adonijé, our friend, who's the guy that came up with that initially.
Yeah, talented guy.
And Izzy Adonijé, big man. I mean, solid man.
Yes.
And you see Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack looks like a cartoon version of a superhero.
He kind of does. I mean, the man was built to play football. He's just an absolute monster out there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is this going to be... I'm just...
Oh, so excited.
Again, let's duct tape him and
bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap. Not duct tape him. That sounds like we're kidnapping him. Let's bubble wrap him and all that. I don't want anything happening to him. Too important. All right. Checking in at...
Number two.
Netflix has revealed a 2-minute trailer for the new Martin Scorsese gangster epic, The Irishman.
Ooh.
Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci.
Gee, what a cast.
I mean, think about that.
No way.
For just a second. It's a story. I know, this is hard to believe. It's a story of organized crime in post-war America, told by Frank Sheeran, played by De Niro. Sheeran became a mobster, was involved in Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance, it is speculated, which happened in 1975. And Scorsese relied on the use of de-aging visual effects to take this epic through the decades.
Hello. Hey, my friend. I got that kid I was talking to you about here. I'm going to put him on the phone and let you talk to him, okay?
Hello?
Is that Frank?
Yes.
Hiya, Frank. This is Jimmy Hoffa.
Glad to meet you.
Glad to meet you, too, even if it's over the phone. Our friend speaks very highly of you.
Thank you.
I heard you paint houses.
Yes, I do, sir.
Do you want to be a part of this fight?
Oh, my gosh.
We can't see it. It's hard. You know, we play a lot of these things on the radio, and it's hard because you can't see it.
But
you can hear. That's how good those guys are.
Right.
Al Pacino. Al Pacino. He's in another movie, too. There's another thing coming out. This thing is coming out for 1 month in theaters and then going straight to Netflix, The Irishman.
How about that? A movie like that with that cast.
Well, it's made by Netflix.
Right. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of dough, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
But you put it out in theaters, the theory is that so you can be eligible for awards.
Right. Right. But the God, what a, oh my God.
Oh, I got to see this.
Oh my God. Because he's also, you know, Pacino's also in this Tarantino film, too.
Yeah. And Joe Pesci. Love him.
Oh.
Talk about nostalgic.
Oh, God.
I want to see it now.
Oh, God. All right. Checking in finally.
Number one.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa.
Uh-oh. 79-year-old woman from Garfield Heights, Ohio, handed a jail sentence after she was caught feeding stray cats. Sentenced to 10 days at a local jail. Prohibited under a town ordinance that bars local residents from feeding animals in the area that do not legally belong to them.
Oh, gosh. Come on.
I don't know if I'm... I don't know. I'm for this. I am with... You
Why?
Know, yeah. No.
The poor cat's got to eat.
The cat's going to do fine.
She's just being nice.
Cat's going to do fine. Cat kills 30 things an hour out when it's out roaming around. It's going to be just fine.
Some of them have been declawed, probably, and they're, like, domesticated. They're not necessarily good out on their own.
I'm with Mario Lopez and the court system
the cat
here.
Lady. No, against the cat lady.
And the district attorney in Garfield Heights, Ohio. Now, she says that someone has to care for these felines.
It began with me feeding the stray kitties. I would always feed them and take care of them because I was worried about them, and I'm a cat lover. And then once my neighbors around here started being unhappy about it, then they called the animal warden. It's too much of a sentence for me for what I'm doing when there are so many other people out there that do so many bad things.
Yeah, how about that? She's right.
True. That part is true, but I'm still 10 days
in jail.
Lopez,
yeah. Jussie Smollett's still out.
10 days in jail, and she's 79. That could be a life sentence.
Like Marianne Williams.
Here's her son. Just wrong. Her son says that this is wrong.
I couldn't believe my mom was telling me that for what she's doing out here, feeding some stray animals, she gets 10 days in the county jail. I couldn't believe it. I'm sure people hear of the things that happen downtown in that jail. Not a lot of good things at all. And they're going to let my 79-year-old mother go there? I understand my mother has broken the law repeatedly with this, and that is a law in Garfield Heights. But it should have been reviewed individually. Why would you send the 79-year-old lady to jail just for feeding cats?
All right.
Right. Great point.
All right.
World's upside down.
I'll feed her cats while she's gone. The ones that she owns. I imagine that there's a lot of cats in that house, too. All right. Wait. Oh, okay.
Well.
So speaking of this... Speaking of this, coming up after the news, which is coming up right now, there is a great story about hipster chicken farmers in Logan Square.
Yep.
And what has gone wrong. Very similar to the alligator farmers of Humboldt Park. Chickens are running the streets of Logan Square because hipsters are letting them go. We will tell this story. It is unbelievable. But first... Let me close this thing up.
The top five at five.